This one goes to Mrs. Glenn Hancock. Dear Mrs. Hancock, I tried to call you several times after receiving your letter of July 9th. Using the number on your stationery, but no answer. So I'll have to try and cover the points in your letter with this one. I'm confused about one or two things that you said. One, your reference to patrolling planes and copters as a real nuisance. Actually, all we have are the helicopters that take our people back and forth at the end of their work shifts, and of course those that bring us in, which has only happened three times in the more than 6 months I've been president. I wonder if what you might be talking about was a period when they used military helicopters to bring in some of the communication equipment and temporary quarters for security personnel. Things which I'm afraid just go with the job. You remarked about the expense. Let me point out, we are not having a Western White House. But it is a fact, and one beyond my control, that there must be communication facilities for those times when I might be there. There also is permanent security, and I guess on the basis of what happened on March 30th, there's evidence that such security is needed. It is true that gravel was brought up there for a parking area for the security and communication vehicles. Also, for the area where the helicopters land. But everything that is brought in there, in the line of buildings and communication equipment, is temporary, prefabricated buildings, all of which will be removed by the government when I'm no longer president. I'm sorry about the harassment you mentioned on the part of the press. I can assure you they harass me more than a little also. They are the free press and seem bound and determined to trail me and report on whatever may be going on. I am also puzzled by your reference to my changing the flow of the watershed, both when I was governor and now. I know of nothing that could be interpreted as doing that. We are drilling a new well, but that's because the well we've had barely provides water for domestic use. Mrs. Hancock, I love the area and the canyon, as you say you do. It is our home. We are selling our residence in Los Angeles. I don't believe I could meet the requirements of this job if if I could not look forward to an occasional few days there on the mountain that I love so much. As I said, I have no control over some of the necessities that now go with me wherever I go. Let me give you an example. Recently, Nancy and I were invited to a Sunday lunch at a home in Virginia, about an hour away from the White House. I was totally surprised to find that even for that lunch, that near to Washington, the signal communications equipment I mentioned earlier had to be established at that place so that whatever might happen in the line of an emergency in the world, I would be within instant communication of any one in the world. I'm sorry for any inconvenience that has been caused you, and hope you'll understand what I feel is my need to now and then get to our ranch and do the things I've always loved doing. Best regards, Ronald Reagan. This one to my brother and his wife. Dear Bess and Moon, just a quick line in these very busy times to answer your letter of the 15th and tell you I've complied with all the requests, the picture, and the things having to do with the University of Iowa and all. It sounded wonderful mentioning Hal Roberts. I had long since thought he was no longer with us. You know, I still have the gun he sent to me that he had taken from a criminal. I'll start looking up all those new relatives on the Reagan side. I ought to be able to find out about them now that we know that part of the family tree better. I saw a few of the Dixon people who told me they'd seen you. They came into Chicago for the fundraising dinner I addressed a few weeks ago. Didn't have any chance for a visit. They were just down below the stage and calling up to the head table. I'm rattling around in this empty house now. Nancy is representing us at the wedding in England. Gone a week. And I must say, it's damn lonesome. Mac McKenzie and his son and daughter-in-law came in. I had lunch with them the other day. Mac is aged considerably, of course, but he's still sharp, and we had a good time talking about the old days in Eureka. Love, Dutch. This one goes to Mr. and Mrs. Phil Regan. Dear Joe and Phil, it was good to hear from you, and thank you very much for your kind words about the press conference and other things. Thank you even more for your prayers. I am most grateful. I hope by this time, Phil, you've had the surgery and everything is okay. My father-in-law just had a cataract operation, and I was amazed to discover the improvements in surgery of that kind. He actually had it done in the office and was home a few hours later. I remember back when it required lying in bed for days with sandbags by your bed, your head. I hope yours was the modern kind. I'm here alone in the White House, which makes it seem pretty big and empty. Nancy's covering for us at the wedding, and thank heavens we'll be home tomorrow. Again, and from both of us, our thanks and best regards. Sincerely, Ron. This one to Colonel Barney Oldfield. Dear Barney, just a quick line here in a session where I'm calling congressmen about their vote on the tax bill. But I've just been handed your letter. Yes, thanks very much for the kind words you're going to say in my behalf in September. I couldn't ask for anything better or more generous. Period. I have no way of knowing about the date you mentioned in New Orleans. It sounds like it would be fun, but it's too far ahead for me to know where they'll have me. That's one thing about this job. You find that someone else decides in advance where you're going to be. Right now, I'm in the White House, and Nancy is covering for us at the wedding in London. I miss her, and I'm looking forward to her return tomorrow. Our best to VADA, V-A-D-A. And again, my thanks for your generous words. Best regards, Ron. This one goes to Helen Hayes MacArthur. Dear Helen, I want to tell you that through the mazes of bureaucracy and all of that, your June 9th letter has finally reached me. I just want to tell you how grateful I am to you, and I appreciate it very much. You are taking the trouble to write that letter to the New York Times. Whether they use it or not, it makes me very happy. I'm rattling around here alone in the White House waiting for Nancy to come back from the wedding in London. But I know I can speak for both of us. I hope we have an opportunity to see you soon. Best regards, Ron. This one goes to a Mr. Thomas A. Corcoran. C-O-R-C-O-R-A-N. Dear Mr. Corcoran, forgive me for being so late in replying to your June letter. I will state, however, it isn't neglect on my part. It's just taken this long for your letter to find its way through the Washington maze and reach my desk. I do know your uncle here and understand what you mean about moving somewhat in philosophy, having been a New Deal Democrat myself. It took some aging before I realized that government couldn't do it all. I want to thank you very much for your generous words. Please give my regards to your wife, and I hope our paths cross again. Best regards, Ronald Reagan. This one to Robert F. Kennedy, Jr. Dear Mr. Kennedy, thank you very much for your kind letter and your generous words. I knew that you had met Pat. He spoke of it when we got together at the ranch a few weeks ago. With regard to your request, I'm happy to fulfill it. I don't know whether my signature on the letter is enough, so I'm enclosing a card with it on also, if that is the way you're keeping your collection. Again, it was good to hear from you. Thanks very much for your letter. Sincerely, Ronald Reagan. This one goes to Mr. and Mrs. Gary P. Harrell, H-A-R-R-E-L-L. Dear Harrell family, I know I'm terribly late with this reply to your April letter, but somehow, in all the confusion that seems to be attendant on government, your letter has only now just reached me. Thank you for sending me the pictures. And, Sean, I'm very proud and happy that you portrayed me in the school play. Thank you all for your prayers, for your generous words, and good wishes. Nancy joins me in this. And from both of us, best regards to all of you. Sincerely, Ronald Reagan. This one goes to Tom Shea, and send this little envelope with it that has the money in it. Dear Tom, I'm sorry to be so late in answering your letter of June, but it only just reached my desk. We're still getting things straightened out here in Washington. I'd like to apologize also for the letter your brother received asking for a contribution. Let me explain that in these fundraising efforts for the party, computerized lists of names are used for the mailing. And these mailings are intended for adults, and somehow, evidently by mistake, your brother's name is in the computer, and I don't know just how you get a name out of the computer, so if it happens again, throw the letter away. But now, also by way of apology, I'm returning your dollar to you. I appreciate very much your wanting to contribute, but there'll be plenty of time for you to do that for the party or candidates or causes that you believe in. I'm most appreciative that you offered to help, and I want to commend you on what you were doing in behalf of your brother. Again, thanks, and best regards. Sincerely, Ronald Reagan. This one goes to a Miss Courtney Sprague. Dear Miss Sprague, or perhaps you are Mrs. Now, I am so late in replying to your nice letter. I just wanted to thank you for the many hours I have had and know that I will continue to have in the saddle with Whiskey, W-I-S-K-I. you a lifetime of happiness in your marriage. Again, thanks and best regards, Ronald Reagan. This one goes to Dr. Alf, A-L-F, Graham Taylor, T-A-Y-L-O-R. Dear Dr. Taylor, I'm sorry to be so late in answering your letter, but the mail in the White House does not always get through the various channels to my desk in a hurry. I want to thank you for your kind words about my statement on the 4th of July. I also want to thank you very much for the information about Dr. Witherspoon, W-I-T-H-E-R-S-P-O-O-N. I have used that full quote for a number of years under the impression the speaker was never named or known, and even that he had entered the hall without anyone knowing who he was or how he got there. I am very pleased to have the more accurate information you have provided. If I use it again, or I think I should say when I do, I'll be pleased to now give full credit and recognition. Thank you again for your generous words. Best regards, sincerely, Ronald Reagan. This one goes to the Prime Minister of Canada, Pierre Trudeau. Dear Pierre, just a line to tell you how very grateful I am for your note and for the recording by our mutual friend, Robert W. Service. I'm answering before I've even had an opportunity to play it, but I look forward to doing that very quickly. You were more than kind to send this, and I assure you, I shall treasure it. Let me also again thank you for all the great hospitality you and your countrymen gave us at the summit. I think it was most successful, and in large part due to your handling of all of the meetings, including the informal dinner meetings. Again, my heartfelt thanks and best regards, Ron. This one goes to Mr. Bud Flesher, F-L-E-S-H-E-R. Dear Bud, forgive me for being so late in answering your letter of April 24th, but I haven't had it that long. I guess we're still getting organized, and it's taking some time for personal mail to find its way through the various channels and reach me. I agree with you and appreciate your words. I think something has taken place in our land. I think once again our people are feeling, as they should, about our flag and our nation. I'm happy to say I've received a few letters from men presently in the service which they serve. Nancy sends her very best, and please give our regards to Sue. And again, thank you for writing. Sincerely, Ronald Reagan. This one goes to Hal Carlson. Dear Mr. Carlson, thank you very much for your letter of May 2nd. And forgive my being so long in answering. I can't tell you how happy I am that you and your comrades were released from Cuban hands so fast. You were right. The Lord was watching out for all of us. I think our country is on the way back to the country we once knew. And there is a new feeling about our flag and our nation. Thank you for what you're doing. God bless you. Sincerely, Ronald Reagan. This one goes to Mrs. J. Graves, G-R-A-V-E-S. Dear Mrs. Graves, thank you very much for your letter, for your generous words and expression of love. I'm glad you wrote and have given me an opportunity to comment about the matter of our senior citizens, of which I am one, but particularly those dependent on Social Security. It has greatly disturbed me the way politics have been used to distort my position in that regard. I know that Social Security must be put back on a sound fiscal basis. But I have said over and over again, and assure you I mean it, we will not do so at the expense of those people who must depend on that program. We will do what we can to repair the program, but I guarantee those people now dependent on Social Security are not going to be deprived of their checks. Thank you. Thank you very much for your kind words about Nancy. I too love her and have been missing her because she has been representing our country at the royal wedding in England. Thank heaven she'll be home tomorrow. Again, my heartfelt thanks to you. Sincerely, Ronald Reagan. See that she gets in a box or something some of our jelly beans. She asked for them there in the last line. She's 90 years old. This goes to General Hal C. Pattison, P-A-T-T-I-S-O-N. Dear General Pattison, thank you very much for writing as you did and for giving me an opportunity to comment with regard to your concern. I appreciate your generous words and the support that you are giving to the party. I have to say, however, I believe our positions with regard to conservation have completely distorted and exaggerated. I do think there are some conservationists who have been rather extreme and would prevent us from meeting any of our needs for minerals, energy, etc. However, I too am a conservationist and a lover of the beauty of this country. And I assure you, we're not going to allow it to be despoiled. I know our Secretary of Interior, Watt,